Good morning, or should I say good evening, or good night, or whatever. No, I think good morning is the right term for this time. We will, this morning we will handle in the session a few issues in the performance, typical performance problems, how to avoid performance problems, how to find performance problems, and how to find perhaps a computer which fits your needs the best. And we created different things that you find on the pre-conference CD already for recapturing, for reinstalling all the tools that I have here now. And you will perhaps have a look at it on your home machine, and you will see perhaps some really interesting results. First of all, I just wanted to point to give you a hint that we had some created a kind of Firebird or Interbase benchmark application, and this benchmark application has its background on a benchmark test which was created by the company Dell. It is just a simple webshop application, and this webshop application is given to you in a very simple way. It is a PHP application where you can create a new customer. So for everybody who's also interested in understanding PHP programming, it might be a really good starter. And what is my income? Well, 1,000 for whatever timeline. Gender, male, female, don't know. This might be a problem for somebody, but okay. Now I can start my shopping. Now I can have a look at some articles. I update my shopping cart. I do a checkout, purchase, and that's it. Really a simple application, but this application is based on a PHP language. There are PHP scripts, and what the company Dell has created for this DVD store is that there is a set of different applications where you can measure how many orders per minute you can create based on this web shop. And this gives you a really interesting performance issue. For example, when we start in this directory that you find on the first CD-ROM, you also have the documentations, the installation notes, where you can directly have a look at how you can install this and which operations are needed to make this work, because most of the people who did not even install an Apache server in PHP environment will perhaps get some problems to make it work. But after that, you will be you can see how it works and how the results are on your specific machine. What you can do with this kind of a performance measurement tool is, for example, that you have a look at the results, and the results, for example, are created for different threads. So this one, for example, is a multi-thread application which creates over a configuration file 30 different threads. They work like different users that are directly working on this web shop application, and you can see that typical measurement, for example, is here, that this is the value, the orders per minute. This is almost the real value, the most interesting value, where you can have a look at, is my database server really in good shape or not? And for example, you can see here, it is able to create up to 1,400 sellings each minute. For example, it processes 1,300 orders per minute, and when you compare it to, for example, another environment, a typical changed hardware, we had a test on a dual-core AMD processor last week in our office, and we created a value of, I think, 3,500 orders per minute. So typically, when you are working on a Firebird server and you are talking to somebody, let's buy a new server because the old server is perhaps too slow, you can directly have a value for this application where you can say, okay, in this application, the value of the orders per minute will be twice after having changed hardware. So it's sometimes really interesting for the management to have a real value for the money, and to make this money for the server for you possible. And this does a lot of internal operations, and you find, for example, here in the processing area, you find a lot of processes, such as the Apache server, the PHP system, the Firebird server, and this database was created for having the main load on the database, not on the web system. So it's really interesting when you have different settings on your database, you will see directly if the database will work faster or not. And this gives you a really value where you can set up a real performance measurement. All this needed tools are on the CD-ROM you had inside your bag already yesterday. So if you like it, just test it. And we would like to have, if you can report, for example, what results were used or created on your specific machine. One of the things, for example, that we found out was that changing, for example, from the Firebird Super Server to the Firebird Classic Server on the machine with a dual-core processor we used for this environment made the orders per minute almost twice as high. So in this specific application, the Classic Server would be a nice alternative. But the main problem of the Classic Server was also that when you have a large database cache, you will get really fast a lot of problems, because I started this with a database cache of 100 megabyte for each client, and when I started this with 40 threads, it created 4 gigabyte of RAM cache for the Firebird server. So it's sometimes a little bit strange when you are working with the Classic server, when you do not have enough money, memory and memory is no longer really the same, because I would say that the memory by the RAM in your machine is no longer a real problem. It might be a really cheap investment in your software performance. So with this application framework, I just wanted to show you a way how to make a measurement on this specific machine and to compare different machines, for example, in your company. And we found out, for example, that on the Classic server you get real benefit of multi-CPU machines. I think all people have expected this. But we will also start this when we have ported this on the Vulkan engine. We will also directly start this on the Vulkan machine, on a Vulkan database server, and we will see if the things that Jim yesterday said in his sessions will also be proven by this application. Since you have a lot of threads from one machine created, it for sure also gives you some CPU usage which emulates the client So when you want to have a real environment, you can directly create this benchmark also to work on a remote machine, so that the remote machine is not the web server, and the web server directly connects to another machine, so you have a real database application benchmark. In this case, the database server, the web server, and the client are on the same machine, so you will perhaps get much better values when you change them to different machines. And if you like to know how to set up, for example, a simple web shop, the PHP files, these four files, are the complete web shop. So it's not so much to know. And when you are, for example, when you want to have a look at how to create a PHP-based web shop on a Firebird connection, you will see directly here, okay, link ID, iBase connect, here's a connection string, username, password, and when anything happens, it should die. So this is really easy to understand and to create a web shop. Really easy, perhaps the wrong word, because when you do not know any part of HTML technology, you will get perhaps a little bit nuts about what is created here with the echo and result row and so on. But since you can use the web shop directly as it already works, you will perhaps see how the informations are created for each client. And I think from our perspective, a PHP-based web shop application or a PHP-based web application running with Firebird in the background is a really good platform. We have different architectures already implemented in the PHP areas for customers, and we like this area very much, especially together with the Firebird server, because when you do not need to think about the performance of the Firebird server, because all you want to do and show in your front-end application will be created in a Firebird server, in a stored procedure or whatever, then you will be able to set up a really simple desktop for your user working on the web with your database, and you can directly use it in also really large environments. Any questions for this area? If so, ask. Yeah.
So, could you clarify the thing about Dell's involvement? Did you say they created the benchmark?
Yes. For example, when you read here, it's an original copyright from Dell, and we added some changes, for example, to make it work directly with the Firebird server without any changes. So it's not a framework, and you first have to know 2 years of experience in PHP programming for making it work with the Firebird server. And the software is definitely free, so any and or modify with the GPL is allowed. So
did Dell quote this figure?
Dell created this for selling much higher level computers, and a German computer magazine, which is called CT, decided a few weeks ago to have a kind of a database contest. And perhaps you read in some Firebird news groups already that there is a database contest in Germany, and this was the background for it, and it can be compared, it can be implemented on different open source databases. So for example, when you're using the MySQL environment with the MyESAM storage engine, you get perhaps much higher values, but if you just pull down the power right when the server is working with 30 threads or whatever, and you put up the power again afterwards, and you see, okay, there are different orders, but the order has no position or whatever comes inside the database, where a typical Firebird database would not have any committed record in the database. you will see perhaps a different where we are already with the Firebird server, and where other companies will perhaps never will come. I do not want to again to talk about a deal that a guy named Larry Ellison made a few weeks ago. Okay, this just wanted to show you, for example, the way how to emulate large database accesses on a specific way, so that you can compare this environment and this installation completely to another installation, and you will see the difference which of both will run faster. Okay, this is one of the possibilities to find out which database server is faster, or definitely will it be a benefit to change from Firebird 1.5 to Firebird 2 in your specific environment, because the secret statements are most of the time really easy to use. When you have support, for example, inside your database application for multi-threads, you will perhaps see here the main benefit on a multi-CPU machine. But if your application does not support multiple threads, multiple CPUs and multiple threads, for example, you will perhaps never get a benefit of it. So it's your choice perhaps to think about to implement a kind of a multi-threading database application from your application or not. But here you can see what is possible. For example, we found out that it totally depends on the environment which you are using, how many threads are possible. For example, there's also a .NET driver delivered where you can emulate the users from a .NET environment, and this .NET environment is at the end of about, I would say, 400 to 500 threads from one computer is at the end. It does not get faster, it gets slower when you are creating more threads on a one CPU machine. So you perhaps will find out for this specific application an amount of maximum 400 threads will be perhaps making your application faster, but it will also do a lot of work when you do it in another way. This was one of the ways where you can find out how the database system will work and how fast it will be able to work. The next thing I want to show you is a little tool we have also on the CD-ROM that you received from the conference, pre-conference CD yesterday, which is called IB Monitor. It's a product of our company, HK Software, and this works as a proxy server. It just connects between the client and the server, and when you want to see which SQL statements were made by an application that you perhaps never created, you can use this application, for example. The configuration is really easy. So, for example, it set up a proxy port on a proxy IP, and it routes this information to the server IP and the server port. For example, each of you who already knows the server port, the typical server port of a Firebird engine, will see here that the 3050 is the typical Firebird port. And we create here a new port where we can connect, and using the IB monitor system, you can set up different filters. For example, only a specific database can be monitored, or only specific statements should be monitored. Here's an interesting thing. For example, when an application starts a SQL statement over such a connection, and you say, okay, force get plan, for each SQL statement, this application will get the plan from the Firebird server to see if it uses an index or not, even if the client application is not interested in finding out if an index is used or not. So perhaps you are also able we will see it in a few minutes, you are also able to find out if creating of a new index makes sense or not, even if your application will not benefit from it on the first look. But you will perhaps see that one more new index, or which perhaps some people also know, deleting of indices will perhaps help to make your application run faster. There are specific situations when you make this work. The lock levels means all alter, create, delete, drop, execute, insert, update, delete statements are in the protocol, and you can directly change it here to say should not have been locked or not. The next thing is the lock directory, where the lock files are written. And there is a possibility, for example, which is typically not possible on a Filebert environment, when you directly set it up from a box. For example, a bad password attempt is not implemented in Filebert until now. But when you're working over this IB monitor server, after creating 10 connections with a bad password, your IP address will be locked for a specific time. So you can think 120 seconds about the real password. And in the time between, you will not get any connect to the Filebert server with that connection. We can directly have a look at the internal user privileges, which are in the RDB dollar user privileges. And there is also possible to set up a config file. For example, if you have a working Filebert server, you can directly say, okay, this specific database can be only opened from this specific network. And there are different possibilities in this config file. For security reasons, we have this was a security part, but the next thing I want to show you is how to start. And what I want to do now is to start an application based on this localhost /51. That's the way it works. Here is the configuration for an application which is a well-known system, a software system, an open source system in Germany. It is an open source system where you can write your invoice, you can control your production, writing stocks, and do everything you need to do with a with an application. What I do here is to change the connection string to localhost with the port 3051. This directly uses, not directly the local Filebert server, it uses the IB monitor system, and this IB monitor systems put it back to the Filebert server. And when we start this application, we will see that we will see. Okay. Now we see there's one connection active, one session. Here you can directly have, for example, read how many bytes are sent and how many bytes are received by the Filebert server. So sometimes you will see, for example, here an upper line, where is perhaps the limit that the database server and the client can connect with it. For example, if your network capacity is limited, you will see here an upper limit, and it will never go above this. So you can perhaps find a way to make it a gigabyte backbone or whatever as a solution for your company might benefit from this. For example, I just go here. I try to change the language to the English language. There are not all words changed, but it can be, for example, used in different languages. There are also translations, for example, to the Hungarian language. And now we can directly see that different that here are two different connections made, and when I double click it here, we will see directly each SQL command used by this application. Here you find, for example, a SQL command which took the time reported by the Firebird server of 31 milliseconds, but the time difference between the first and the second and the next SQL statement can be read here. So for example, in this column you sometimes find the time when the system waits for you to enter a password or whatever, but sometimes it's also really interesting when you have really larger amounts of time here, then you might perhaps have a look. If it's your own programmed application, you might have a look at your application. What does your application in that moment, because in 5 seconds no database access is done, it is perhaps not really needed what you are doing in your application. But sometimes, for example, here you get some information about SQL statements which took a lot of time. 1.5 seconds is perhaps not a long time. It depends on the things that were made. And when you have a look at the statement plan which is used inside the stored procedure, you will perhaps see that there is for sure some things that can be made better here. For example, when you see somewhere here a natural plan, which means no index is used, it is definitely a part where you have to look at, for example, this stored procedure here. Okay, this gives you a protocol for everything an application does, and it gives you also a possibility to find out where an application perhaps reacts too slow, where perhaps a stored procedure must be for a stored procedure there must be created some more indices to make it run faster. So these are some parts that you will have in your daily work perhaps, and you will perhaps find out where the problem comes from when your software is not as fast as you expected. There are also two other services which write all this value directly to to HTML files, and this can be directly uploaded with FTP to another server, so you can directly have a look at a specific web server, for example, for getting the results which were made by your application. And when I have a look at this, I think it should be somewhere here. These files are created here, and here you can directly see, for example, some of the statistics for the specific connection. You can also directly have a click on the specific SQL commands, and here are the log files. So for example, if you want to have a look directly at the log files, you see, okay, at this time a user connected from this IP address using this port. So when the client connects to the server, it uses the port 3050, but when it goes back, it gets a port from the Firebird server that where the results come to the client. And it connects to the following database, and the user which was used was this DBA. And sometimes, when there is no disconnect at the end of this file, you will see, for example, that your application is perhaps still in work, or your application has perhaps crashed. For example, sometimes you will find in this way a possible way to understand why or which connections are no longer valid, but you have to look for the reasons. We made a lot of interesting analyzations based on this software already, and the version that you find on your pre-conference CD has only a simple limitation. It can be only used on the local host area, so for example you cannot use it for remote access, and when you want it for remote access, you can buy this product, and it's, for example, for I think 10 sessions, it's €199 or something. And then you can have a protocol inside it. What is perhaps interesting, you can do a lot of protocols based on insert, update, and delete. To everybody who was yesterday in my session, where I created the replication system, insert, update, delete can be handled inside the database with triggers without a problem, but no selects. And for example, if you remember a few months ago, there was a problem in the company AOL, America Online, where some of the guys made perhaps a really large select statement on the customer database with the credit card numbers and took this data to another place. So in this case, no trigger would help you because the trigger does not see any select statement. But in this case, we would see it and we would perhaps be able to find the guy who made this really fast. And this is also one of the possibilities that you can have when you're working with the IB monitor. There's also a full unlimited version which does a protocol for unlimited users, which is in use, for example, at the German Telecom. And the German Telecom is working on the until now on an interbase server. They will perhaps change in the future to a fiber server, but for historic reasons they are working with an interbase server, and they just want to know the data inside this database is a complete German glass fiber network, so every position where a glass fiber network is connected to another part is documented in this database. There are about, I think, 40 or 50 million connections defined in that database, and they just wanted to know if something is not in the way they want to have it. They wanted to know from which IP address was it made, and perhaps to ask him for the reasons why he made some changes which makes no sense. But this one is one of the customers who's using the software. Yeah.
Storing all its information in a text file.
Yeah. Another way would be, we are a database company, store everything inside a database. So, for example, you can...
Is that working now? Because I guess it's
In the past, we had some problems with creating the table.
Yes,
you had to create it manually. Yes, the last time I tested this, it created the table without a problem.
Also, can it block the transaction when a transaction starts or it ends?
Not now.
That's very interesting to see how long the
transaction is. We thought about implementing this, but we need some information about the packaging when a commit or a rollback is used. We need definitely to find out which packet was used for it, because there is no SQL statement named commit sent to the server or to the client. There was just an API called, and this API sends a TCP IP package to the server, which we have to identify manually as a commit or a rollback. But we are thinking about different extensions based on this application.
You showed it when you set the IP addresses up. Can you run it on a DHCP network where you haven't actually got any predefined?
No problem. You can directly use here server names.
Did you put host names in this one?
Just write the computer names or whatever. No problem. And for example, when you have a look at here at the active connections, there is no more active connections, but timed out connections is also no longer there because I already close the application. Okay. Yeah. okay. For example, when you will have a look at the log or wherever, here you directly see that the name is already reverse DNS. Strange word. I think it's no word. And you can directly see the name where it came from. Okay, this was one part. How you can find, for example, typical leaks of performance in an application. We used it several times for applications which were not created by ourselves, and sometimes we were just able to find out, for example, that some SQL statements were made where just one index makes a SQL statement much faster. And we decided to create an index based on another application which was not created by us, but we knew that this index makes it faster, so it's our choice, and the customer was really happy about that, because in one case we had, for example, the problem that a customer reported us from a software system he used that is using the Firebird server in the background, that he was definitely not satisfied with the performance of the Firebird server. And if I heard about such situations, I typically do not believe that the problem is the Firebird server. And most of the times, it's a programmer sitting in front of the Firebird server who does not know anything about a real database model, who does not anything about relations and so on. And what I found in that application, it was a real-world application which is sold for a lot of money, was that there were different tables inside the database without a primary key, which is really interesting. For example, find a SQL statement which or enter two in the two SQL statements, create two SQL statements which enter the same data, and create a SQL statement just to delete the first one without having a primary key. It's not so easy. When you are using the RDB$DB key in Firebird, you can do it, but it's not so nice. And a typical database model should have primary keys, foreign keys, and so on. Most of the time I heard about this come from companies who are also working with other databases, and they often say, I do not want any special about this or the other database. And in these cases I often say, then it's your problem, then you have to wait for it. But the main problem was, it was a time-sharing company, job-sharing, or what it was called, for letting people work at their customers for just a specific time. And they had to calculate, for example, at the end of the month, their salary. And the main problem was that when they enter the salary for 1 month, it took about for 30 fields where they have to enter. This day was worked 8 hours, this day was worked 9 hours. It took about 3 or 4 minutes to enter all this. A typical situation should be turn with the left hand the paper behind, with the right hand just enter the keys, and it should not be longer than perhaps 30 seconds or whatever. But in this case, you can write the numbers on the screen, on the keyboard, and you can look at the screen and wait at least 5 seconds until the numbers came up to inside the application, because there were some on-change events used which are really useless, and it made the application really slow. And so we decided to find the leaks, the most performance leaks in the database, and it was also possible to work with this application afterwards. But after that, in the because the customer said to me, contact the software manufacturer and tell him about how to program a faster database, and tell him about how to program a faster IDE for creating such jobs. We found different areas where we may where we were able to speed up the application much faster. One more thing I want to show you, a typical situation. This is, for example, an IB Expert version, which is also on the Firebird Conference CD. It's an unlimited version with just one limit. Database is larger than 100 megabytes cannot be opened with it. There's no other limitation on it. So if you want to have a look at IB Expert and cannot afford to buy it, for example, now, it will be a good starter. And we also wanted to make it to you possible to understand everything I want to show here to you in this full version, even if it has a little bit of limitations. I open one of the typical employee database, and what I wanted to show to you is the following. A typical a typical SQL statement, for example, select star from org chart, gives you always a result. This result is created by the Firebird server based on different informations. One of the informations is the plan, which index is used in which order. And here you see, for example, directly that we have different indices on the employee table used, for example, the primary key and the foreign key, and afterward it does a complete sort on the result and it joins a third table on it. What is really interesting and not known by a lot of people is the statistics value. An index, when you're creating an index, there is a statistics value inside the RDB dollar indices table, and this statistics value is used by the optimizer to understand which index is better to use. Should I use the following index or the other index? So, for example, in a situation where you have a customer and an employee relationship, where one employee, for example, works for different customers, but one customer has different employees. You have three tables: the customer table, the employee table, and the relationship between. And for example, when you are working with your environment in your development in a typical test database, where you have 100 customers but 10,000 employees, for example, but your real customer has 10,000 customers and only 100 employees, it will be perhaps a problem that the optimizer will start in a different way on the customer's database version than it will start on your local database version. And the decision is made on different things, but also, for example, based on the statistics value for the indices on this table. But as you can see here now, the statistics value are zero. So this means when the statistics value was created, the table was empty. This is not so nice. And the statistics value inside your database will not change if you do not say it to the database server that you want to change it. So one way, for example, to change it is to say in IB Expert, recompute selectivity of all indices. And when we do this, here you can directly see the SQL statement, how to do that. And when we are having a look at the plan analyzer again, we will see the statistics value have definitely changed. And what does it mean? When you have a table with two records and you have a primary key on it, you will see in the statistics value 0.5. It is always the number of different values in that index, and from this one the other value in Germany Kehrwert. Don't know what it's in other languages is. 1 divided by this value will be the result in the statistics. And this one is used in the optimizer, and when the optimizer does not find any making sense informations inside it, he will get perhaps the wrong decision. So he starts with the wrong table, with a larger table, even if he should perhaps start with this smaller table. This is one of the parts where you can set up performance advantages on regular base. It is also possible with a simple stored procedure with the execute statement inside it to execute such a procedure which re-indexes or recalculates the index for all indices. I do not have the source code here at the moment, but I can send it to you by email if you like. Just contact me after the conference, info@h-k.de, and you will get it from me, no problem. Another point of view regarding the performance analysis is the possibility to see are there index reads or non-index reads. So for example, in this situation we will see that the department is used with 21 operations non-indexed and with 20 operations indexed. When you know how this stop procedure is created and what the procedure does, you may understand that. But sometimes there are really strange results, and when you can when you activate this one here, you can directly see how many records are in each table. And sometimes this value, there are 42 records in this table, employee, but there were 59 operations on that table. So sometimes you have to think about it, does it make sense? In this case it makes sense, because for each department the employees are counted and the manager is selected. But in other cases perhaps you see a table with perhaps 10 records and you see a value of 1 million operations, even index based on this table. You can perhaps imagine that this will be a typical performance leak when you have 1 million operations on a table with only 10 records. You will perhaps find a way to make this operation in another way much faster. What you can see also is on the additional page, and the additional page gives you some text informations. For example, here you can directly have a list with the text informations. So typical customers often send this text file to us to have somebody have a look on his database operations. And what is a really interesting value are the reads, writes and fetches. The reads mean they are reported by the Firebird server already. You can also use it in ISQL with set statistics on. You can directly see this value also for the reads and the writes, I think. But I'd never used it in the last 5 years, I think. And the reads means how many database pages were read from the database file to the cache. The writes means how many pages were written back to the database file. And the fetches, you can imagine the fetches are a kind of an internal database operations counter. The Firebird server has, for example, with its multi-generational architecture, a simple limitation. When you have, for example, a table with 100,000 records and you delete all these records in a transaction, but there's still an older transaction which can read this 100,000 records. For example, a backup is working in the background. And now you have 100,000 records deleted. You create a new transaction and you do a select on this table. It takes some time, and afterwards it reports you there was no record inside this table. And you say, interesting, why did you take so much time to tell me about that there is no one, not one record on it? In this case, you will typically find here the amount of fetches will be really high. So for example, in this case, typically 200,000. The fetches, when you have a deleted record version, and you're doing a select count on it, and it, the Firebird server needs to know every record version until it can decide, is this a record value for the current transaction or not? Is it valid? If it's not valid, it does not count it, but it has to access this record version. And the access of record versions is stored or is displayed here in this fetches value. And this is sometimes really interesting when you are working on a database and you have a strange behavior of the database. You can often find here a solution, since sometimes there are really old transactions that block the garbage collection. And if they block the garbage collection, you might get a problem that you do not want to have in it. And here you will definitely see how many record versions were visited for creating this result set. We have some other possibilities inside the IB Expert. For example, you can use the stored procedure editor with a debugger, but this is not a typical performance issue. You can directly have a look here at the operations. In the operations, we take each statement of each stored procedure and have a look at it, if this statement is using an index or not. And for example, when I use another stored procedure, for example the awk start stored procedure, I see here in red lines that something is used in natural order. So I can double click it and have a look at this statement. Can I find a way to make this faster, for example? And we have, for example, one customer in USA who is working with Firebird and with IB Expert, and he reported us, this is a really nice feature when I click on it and I see which operation is slow, but we have one simple problem. We have about 2,500 procedures and 9,000 triggers. It's a little bit hard to have a double click on each of the stored procedures and each of the triggers, because it works also on triggers. So we decided to implement a functionality that does an analyzation on your whole database and opens each object for evaluating if it is using an index or not. And now you can directly have a double click on it and optimize it, so it makes your work a little bit easier. One more thing I want to show you, which is really important: services database statistics. The database statistics can be also created with the gstat command line tool, and the database statistics, there are different values that you have to look at. And the main issue for you is, have a look at the next transaction and the difference to the oldest active or to the oldest transaction. When the oldest active transaction does not change while people are working on this database, sooner or later you will get a problem. If it will increase at least every 5 minutes, 10 minutes or whenever, you will not have a problem. But if this will stay still on one value, you get a problem. Why this? When you create a transaction, you start a transaction, you can read, for example, a value of a table. You help this transaction open. Another user comes up, which makes an update on this value. It was committed by him. A new record version was connected after the original record version. The old active transaction still can read the old record version. It might be that it is using the read committed, so it would see the new record version, but we will think about this when we were using the repeatable read. Now a third user comes up and updates this value. A new record version, the third version, is created. The old version is still in the line. So sometimes this record version chain gets longer and longer and longer, just because one transaction can still read this old value, the first value in that chain. And the garbage collector will not be able to handle this without having this old transaction to be committed. A customer reported such a problem, that his application gets slower and slower and slower each day. And after he restarted the server, it starts again really fast. And after that, it gets again slower and slower and slower. This is a typical error message from people who have problems with the oldest active transaction. In this case, the customer had a table with four 32-bit integer values where he always did some updates on. There was only one record in that table. when I had a look at this database and I opened the summary directly, you can see the size of each table in bytes, how many pages are used, multiplied with the page size, is the size of this table used in bytes. And this table with just one record on it took about 120 megabytes in the database, because all of the old record versions, just because he had one application where an old active transaction blocked the garbage collector. And which was the reason for it? He used a simple application which made a query open but no query close. And a query open always has an active transaction. And this application never changed. This was just one time started with the main application, and then it had still an active transaction and no change while the program is running. So it was again and again and again, each time the problem. And we identified this by stopping each software from all connected PCs one by one. And on one PC we found out, okay, now the oldest active transaction increases, and now we found the one who was the reason for this problem. So have a look at this value. This value gives you a really nice information and really helpful information about the things that your database server has to do whenever you are forced to handle such a performance leak. There are much more different possibilities to make your application really run faster. For example, last week we created a database that we wanted to create for this benchmark system, and we wanted to use the multi-CPU machine we have in our office. But the main problem was when we had 100 threads or 200 threads was that there was not enough memory on that server, and we decided to find a simple way. Typically, the classic server, when you use a classic server, you can use a classic server with, for example, 100 connection, but the database cache is multiplied by 100. So you need a lot of memory on it. And we made the following thing. We made a really small database cache setting in the database, but we put the complete database file on a RAM disk. And it was really a fantastic result. But it's a really strange situation, because when you shut down the database server, everything is lost, simply. But if you have a really stable database server and performance is all you need, it might be an interesting alternative for you. Because, for example, the situation you have seen yesterday, where you can directly, for example, use a replication engine which definitely updates or sends all your operations to the next database server, which will perhaps run on a non-RAM disk, will give you an alternative in speed up your database environment. But I expect a lot from the Vulkan environment or from Firebird 3. So, but sometimes you need the performance now, and sometimes this is the way. So from my perspective, we do not have longer time for talking here together, but we can talk outside the room without a problem. You can directly ask me what you want. I will try to find an answer for you. Typically, the answer should also belong to the question, which is not always the part when you ask somebody from America, but I'm not from America, I'm from Germany, so typically I try to answer on your question, not on my own question. Okay, I would say thank you, and you find my email address, for example, when you want to have a simple support or something like this, you can directly have a look at the About box, at this link. And there you can, for example, register this version, and you can directly ask me or our team about things you want to know in the future of your work with the Firebird environment, also with the IB Monitor or with the IB Expert. Thank you.